Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, Matt.
I'm your co-host, Cliff.
Hello, Cliff.
Hello.
End of show.
Thanks for listening to The Indoorsman podcast this week.
Follow us on the street or in our financial records, and don't forget to subscribe to NPR. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I've played a few things, but mostly watched a lot of stuff over the last X number of weeks.
Me too. Done a bit of a watch. But also a couple of games. Not much, really. Like, it's kind of the dead season for games a little bit.
Yeah, I've played a couple pretty hard, and then that was about it. So
Yeah. The good news is, over the weekend, as you know, I visited Adelaide, where you live, and remember how we didn't hang out at all?
Well, to be fair, it was only a few days' notice.
Yeah, same for me.
And it was, first week of hockey coming back, so that just takes out one day entirely, and then pre-made plans on the other day. So yeah, that was, missed it by that much.
Yeah, I did drive past your house and waved hello at your house, so I hope you got a warm, fuzzy feeling. Like someone cared and was interested in you.
Let's say yes, sure.
Yeah, cool. The upside of that is now I have all my shit in Melbourne. Means I have all my games, which means I have so many more things that I haven't finished.
I mean, now you've got like the crushing, crippling like pressure of finishing all those games now.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I was like, oh, there's so many games I haven't finished. And then I realized just how many PS4 games I actually own. Hoofadoofa. It's a lot. I did not bring much with me, and I've expanded the collection since then. But that's a problem for another day and another bookshelf. I'm going to need another bookshelf.
Anyway. Bookshelves.
Oh my god, I don't have room for bookshelves. Well, let's ignore that problem and talk about what we've been playing in the last while.
I finished Crackdown 3.
Oh, that's right. You were playing that.
Yeah. It's good dumb fun.
Dumb is the right word.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's very dumb. It makes no... It does not try at all to hide the fact that it is dumb. But it's kind of fun being able to, like, you know, just pick up cars and throw them at shit while jumping through the air and, you know, Terry Crews-ing around the place. Even though I didn't actually play much of Terry Crews, I played as another character.
Terry Crews-ing. I like it. It's good. It's funny. You did a funny word play. I like it.
So yeah, it like I said, it's good dumb fun. The being able to just run around and jump and borderline fly and punch people through things and you know, just ground pounding. Like, you are just
pounding that ground.
You are a ridiculous like caricature of a action hero in that, and that's great fun.
Okay. I might consider getting it one day when it's on sale.
I've got it for $1 via Game Pass.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fair. So wait, they put it straight on Game Pass?
Yeah, it was like it launched on Game Pass.
That's something?
No, that's what Microsoft is doing a lot these days. Games, they'll basically like... some of them will go straight to Game Pass and cross-play. So I'm playing it on PC, but you can play it on PC or Xbox. That seems to be the way they're moving forward with things. It's basically just going like... Just buy it from us and you can just wherever. Or Game Pass from us and just play wherever.
Nice. Okay.
So Sea of Thieves is the same thing.
Yeah, I remember that. Both of those feel like games they maybe weren't 100% confident in, though.
Well, Sea of Thieves should be good. And they, you know, they did a bunch of patches and I went back to play it and they're like, cool, you're a pirate. Here's a bunch of pirates you can choose to look for. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be that pirate or that pirate. So, and you just be hitting the random button trying to find a pirate. For like 20 minutes, I was hitting the random button to try and find a pirate that I wanted to be. And I just was like, fuck, I'll just be that one now. And then they're like, and here's how you do like two things. Now, cool, out into the world. And you're like, I don't know now what to do. I mean, can I go to my boat? Yeah, look, there's my boat. How do I sail my boat? All right, I hit a few buttons. Okay, cool, I'm sailing. I'm out in the ocean. What do I do now that I'm sailing my boat? Look, there's an island. Okay, I crashed my boat into the island and it sank. And then I shot myself out of a cannon. And I don't know what to do in that game.
It does not. I mean, it sounds like you got the full experience, yeah.
It does not go, Like, here's a quest to start you off to, like, do some piratey things and then unleash you on the world as, like, a, now you understand how pirating works in this game. It's basically like, go. I'm like, oh, well, all right, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm just going to not play this game ever again.
Unfortunate. Yeah, that's a bit rough. I mean, even Minecraft has tutorials now.
Like, I love games that don't hold your hand the whole way through. But I want
maybe
them to,
a little bit.
I want it at the start to go like, okay, here's how you doing whatever you're doing in this game works. Here's how you get or find activities, and then just basically unleash you onto the world to like find some activities, and then along the way you can discover random activities I don't tell you about, that kind of stuff. I want that. I don't want nothing or all of it.
True. Well, that's good. Like, I haven't finished anything recently. But I have been playing more Assassin's Creed Odyssey to finally work my way through the DLC. Well, the first wave of DLC. The second wave starts end of this month, I think, which is the Fate of Atlantis storyline.
Oh, it's the Indiana Jones game.
It's the something of Atlantis. Rise of Atlantis?
It's the Aquaman movie.
Yeah, I don't know. The cartographing of Atlantis? Either way, it better actually involve Atlantis. Because
it's like that show, Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah. I'd say, like, we're far enough away from the release of Odyssey that we can drop a little bit of a spoil, I reckon.
Yeah, if you want to play it, you probably would have played it by now. It's been like 6 months, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely been a while.
It's ages.
So, okay, so Atlantis is in the game. You go through all this stuff, you're trying to find someone. I'm not going to mention who, because that is a bit of a spoiler. But you end up at the gates of Atlantis, which is hidden on an island in the Greek Isles, and your overall quest involves hunting down these four MacGuffins that will seal the gates of Atlantis so the Order, the kind of Templars of the game, can't get their whole hands on the technology of Atlantis and take over the Greek world, blah, 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 blah. You never get further than the entranceway. Like, it's this big hall you go into, and there's some glowy statues you can talk to that give you little snips of story, and you have the four posts where you put the MacGuffins, and that's it. You've got a window where you can see Atlantis, that's it.
Wow, so they're really teasing you on that one, huh?
Yeah, it's like
slamming in the door on your face.
Having Atlantis in the game is the first time they've gone like full mythology. Like, in the actual storyline, you know, Origins had the thing where you could fight the gods, but it was displayed as, like, an animus glitch. So it wasn't actually part of the character Bayek's experience.
Glitch in the Matrix kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah, whereas this is, oh, Alexios / Cassandra literally went to Atlantis and locked the door. But you don't get to go inside at any point. And I was like, when I got there in the game, I was like, yeah, Atlantis, fuck yeah, I'm going to run around Atlantis and climb it. And then you don't.
It
like adult
would seem, yeah, that is kind of shit. Like, if you're gonna include it in some way, either put it all in or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't half-ass it.
Have an artifact from Atlantis. Don't take me to the door. Don't tease me and then not finish.
So
that's bad sex.
All right. So now, the base game has that in it, but not. Then they're bringing out like a DLC for it.
In the season pass, they haven't detailed it in any way, but it's the adjective of Atlantis. So
it tells me it
should be in Atlantis.
Yeah. You've had the door slammed really in your face, and then gone like they've cracked it open and gone like, give us like $50 and we'll open the door again.
And I basically just stuck my tongue in the door, hoping for the best.
And they slammed it, and now you're mute.
A fate worse than death.
Yeah.
So I've been playing more of that because there's so much of that game that I haven't finished. Like, just huge chunks of the map I never even touched. I'll never 100% finish it, but I'm enjoying just kind of, you know, wandering around,
just
being an endgame character and just smashing the shit out of everyone. Finally trying some other abilities besides the three that I put on hotkeys at the start of the game and never explored outside of. Turns out there's some good ones. So I've been playing a bit of that, and two different Switch games, because I needed something to play over the weekend. Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon, Everybody, which is a remake of the original Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon game, which is pretty fun. Like, it's very pretty, it's kind of cutesy, but the dungeon crawling is legit punishing. It's very much fail over and over until you succeed. And yeah, I'm not that far in, but it's interesting. I'm enjoying it so far, mostly. I don't like failing, so I don't like getting knocked to the start of the dungeon and losing all my money and equipment every time. That's a bit rough.
Yeah, I can see how that would be bad.
Very much kind of PS1 era difficulty and punishment, but not what I came for. Also picked up Little Dragon's Cafe, which is kind of Harvest Moon-y, I guess. You're a pair of kids running their mom's cafe because she's sick. You have to collect ingredients and make recipes, and also raise a dragon, because raising the dragon will help your mum not be sick.
The 12 uses of dragon's blood.
Yeah, I'm assuming I am just going to grow it up into a happy, healthy dragon and then slit its throat.
Yeah, and then sacrifice it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cute. So many loading screens, though. That's the problem.
We're still in the world of loading screens. What is going on?
I know. It was a game that was cross-platform Switch and 3DS. Like, the Switch version looks really good for the Switch. It doesn't just feel up-resed, but yeah, it's just like loading screens between cutscenes, loading screens to go in and out of the house. Mm. It just feels a little bit clunky.
We're surely past that, right? Like, I'm assuming we're not working with like an open world size game here. We're talking about a fairly enclosed environment where you could load better than that.
You definitely could, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, considering the Switch can run Breath of the Wild, I'm pretty sure it can handle the map of Little Dragon's Cafe a bit better than it does right now. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing, to be honest.
Yeah, I haven't played much else, although, as we were discussing before the podcast, because I hate myself, I had to buy Final Fantasy VII for the Switch now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm playing that until the end of eternity.
Again? Again?
Yeah, again. Own it yet again. Squeenix, you better be taking this money and pouring it into the remake. And it better not cost $100. I mean, I'll pay $100 for it, but it better not cost $100.
You better not do this thing, because I'll acquiesce if you do, but don't, please.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, no news on that front, so that's good.
Mm. But apart from that, I've I finished another book, actually, yesterday.
Ew.
So that was part of that series that I've been reading about how humans apparently didn't evolve, they were uplifted.
Oh, yes, I remember you mentioning this.
So I've finished book 5 of 6. Mm-hmm. Shit's hitting the fan now.
Alien, as it should.
Aliens gone rogue. Yeah, crazy escapes. Meeting with robots and hydrogen-breathing aliens instead of oxygen-breathing aliens.
Ooh.
It's like a whole like thing. There's like 8 orders of sapient beings. And so like the oxys and the hydros, they stay away from each other because they tend to, you know, explode when they're together, like figuratively and literally. Yeah, shit does not go down well when the two get together. But now they're getting together because we're in book 6. So of course they have to.
Nice.
It's getting good. It's getting real good. There's dolphins, there's chimps, there's humans. There's like a whole bunch of other aliens that are cool.
Nice.
It's good. So I did that. But I've also been watching a lot of stuff, catching up on a lot of stuff too.
Yes, I've been doing a bit of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been? Let's trade off. Let's go one by one each.
All right, cool. So I'll go back to a movie that actually had a bit of Oscar buzz about it. And the more I heard about it, I'm like, well, I think I need to watch this movie now. Have you seen The Favourite?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's not exactly like a genre movie as we normally discuss in here, but it is like this weird period piece, but with kind of like modern jokes in it.
Okay.
It's the movie that Olivia Colman won her Oscar for, where she plays the Queen. And it's like this kind of fictional telling of Queen... I don't know, one of the queens back in the day, like way back
Queen
in the day.
Queen Ethel, yep.
Yep, like way back in the day, and she's got her favourite, played by Rachel Weisz, and they're kind of having it off in secret.
Ooh.
And then you've got Emma Stone rocks up as like this new kind of girl that she's a law, she's a noble girl, but her father went kind of crazy and burnt down his own mansion, and now she needs some work.
Fun.
And she kind of edges in between the two. And it's then a fight to become the Queen's favourite, who's basically going kind of insane and is all over the place and has, she's got gout and there's all kinds of shit's going on. She has a whole bunch of rabbits.
Sure.
When you find out what's going on with the rabbits, you're like, oh man, that's kind of fucked up. And then you kind of relate to the queen a bit more after that. But it's this weird, like, it's I don't know how to describe it. It's nuts. It is absolutely nuts.
Sounds interesting. You should watch it.
Yeah. Not a genre film, but man, it's good. It's so weird. It's so very, very weird. Same director as the guy that did The Lobster, if you've seen The Lobster.
Nope.
Which is super, super weird, about a future world where everyone has to kind of pair up. And if you don't pair up, you need to go to this special camp, this retreat for pairing up. And you've got something like 40-something days to meet your perfect match and pair up for life. Or you get turned into the animal of your choice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's super fucking weird too, but also pretty good and pretty dark in a comedic and funny in a dark comedy kind of way. So yeah, that dude's really good. If you like really weird, like, you know, a different kind of weird to Wes Anderson, but yeah, super weird.
Okay.
So watch that. You should, you need to watch it. It's fucking strange, man, but good.
I'm actually pretty intrigued. Yeah. That sounds like fun. Well, on the topic of weird, I've been watching a series on YouTube Red or YouTube Premium or whatever they call it now, called Weird City, which is this sort of near future sci-fi dark comedy, I guess, where it's a bunch of episodes of about like TV sitcom length, and they center on different elements of this kind of fictional scenario where there's a city split between above the line and below the line. Where below the line is very much just like housing project suburbs of today, and above the line is futuristic, crazy, ridiculous, hipster nonsense. There's so many famous people in it, though. There's an episode centering on Michael Cera. There's one about Rosario Dawson. Just like all these famous faces going past. Dylan something from Teen Wolf. Like a lot of faces I recognize, and I was like, oh, cool, it's that guy. It's that chick. But they're all sort of threaded together. So you're hearing things that have either happened in previous episodes or are going to happen in future episodes. Like there's a bunch of shots where they'll have a group of people talking and they're all talking about a TV show. And it's like, and then they decided not to blow off the door, but it blew off anyway. Ha 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 ha.
Wow, and it turns out,
yeah, it has LeVar Burton. Nice. He is a recurring character. And yeah, so they're talking about this door blowing off when they didn't blow it off, and then it turns out that's actually the crux of the final episode, which has Yvette Nicole Brown in it and Awkwafina, which is a interesting combo of casting.
Did they got Glenn? Is that Glenn I see from Walking Dead? Is he in it?
Glenn from Walking Dead and is in it.
Britta the Worst.
Britta's in it. Yes, there's so many faces that I love in that show. And I think it's coming back for a second season, which I'm really keen on.
Just looking at the pictures and seeing Michael Cera, I'm going to have to watch it just for him.
For the muscle suit?
I can see a shot that hints that he's all muscular and fighting, but yeah. He's got a headband on.
Yes, he do. So that was actually a really interesting watch. I'd sort of seen a trailer for it ages ago, and I spotted it come up, and I was like, oh yeah, why not, and just sort of blasted through it and was quite happy.
How's that not bigger than it is? Never heard of it.
Yeah,
with that cast, well, it should be huge,
you would think, right?
Yeah,
like especially when it's like a YouTube production, and like they've been pushing like the Premium Red, whatever it's called, hard. You'd think they'd be pushing this even harder. So yeah, that's one of mine.
All right, so I caught up on another movie. This is definitely a genre movie. I caught up on watched The Predator.
Yep.
Because I love me some Predator action and some alien action too.
That is a movie,
too. It was pretty good. I quite liked it. It was stupid in places, but then it's a Predator movie, so of course it's like that.
Yep.
You know, big ass, like new kind of Predator that's all genetically engineered and shit, that's got all the tricks that the Predators have but kind of built into his own body.
Okay.
He wrecks some humans. He wrecks some predators. It's pretty crazy. The kid, there's like a kid in it, because of course there's a kid in it. Kid's autistic or something of some degree. Like he's definitely on the spectrum, which causes a lot of problems. But that also means that he can basically read and like map out a whole bunch of like Predator computer technology, because of course Mercury Rising style, like there's some sort of weird, like the kid's valuable for that. It, you know, it's pretty good. It's like got some really messed up stuff in it. It's got some good acting in it. It's got some bad acting in it, but you know, it's pretty good. I quite liked it. It's not good. Nice. It's not groundbreaking in the world of the Predator universe, but you know, it's good. I liked it.
Nice. Yeah, I kind of forgotten that was even a thing.
Yeah, I've been way catching up because
Yeah. Okay. Well, I haven't really been watching any movies. All of mine is TV show stuff, which is a much greater time commitment because I'm terrible to myself. But I watched the second season of The Dragon Prince. Like, I finished that up on the weekend while I was waiting for my plane back to Melbourne. Really good. Like,
they unruined the frame rate, didn't they?
They did. They increased the frame rate so it's more smooth. It's not, like, silky smooth. They've still kept it a little bit choppy. But it's definitely a lot more watchable. And, yeah, it really helps with some of the jokes, especially considering they have a character who speaks in sign language. Doesn't feature as much in this season, which is unfortunate, because I like Amaya as a character. But yeah, they're deepening the lore, they've expanded the character selection. I was actually pretty impressed. They have a scene, so there's five human kingdoms on the human side of the border, and they convene in this second mini-season, and it turns out that one of the kingdoms is ruled by two queens who have a daughter together. It's just a nice bit of inclusiveness that was totally not required, but just kind of thrown in there as perfectly normal in this world. And that's the kind of inclusivity that I support.
Well, technically, when you're queen, whatever you say is normal is normal.
True. They did nobly sacrifice themselves to protect people. So that's, I guess, a little bit awkward, bury your gaze trope style. But yeah. I'm okay with it overall. Lots of hints of what's going to come next in the series. Things like, they keep showing lingering shots of the younger of the two princes, you know, hanging out with the baby dragon that they've got now, and they're perfectly mimicking each other's movements. Yeah, but they're sort of perfectly mirroring each other's movements in their sleep or just walking around and stuff to kind of hint that there's more going on there, perhaps.
Are they Stark and direwolfing it, are they?
Could be. Yeah, definitely give some good hints for where the series is going. I just wish they'd do more than the sort of 8-episode drip-drop seasons that Netflix seems to be in love with, because I need more.
How long are the episodes?
It's like same length as Avatar. So, you know, 22 minutes.
Yeah, that's too short for a too little number of episodes for that length of show.
Hmm.
Somewhere between 8 and 13 is good for a 40-minute hour show.
Yeah, and even enough, dozen would be perfect.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much like... Original Avatar was like 12 episodes for the first two seasons, I think. Because I remember the book one was really short by comparison to sort of book three in the run of that.
I've never seen it, so I don't know.
You're terrible. Yeah, so... I've been watching that, and I'm waiting for the next season to drop.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of bad frame rates, I don't know if we talked about it much last week, but I caught up and saw the Spider-Verse.
Yes, I think we did briefly touch on that.
It was really, really good, but the frame rate, man, I knew it was going to fuck me, and it did. I had like kind of like a tension kind of headache towards the end. It was really not pleasant. It just felt, I don't know, like my eyes were trying to, I don't even know how to describe it, but it strained my eyes like quite badly. I can't stand that kind of choppy animation style. That's why I didn't even give that the Dragon Prince show a look in. It's like, nah, I can't do it.
That's unfortunate. Like, I didn't have that problem with Spider-Verse as we discussed at the time, but I do sometimes have an issue with games that have a choppy frame rate where I get a sort of a autonomous reaction where my eyes just water nonstop. It's like they're trying to obscure it. It's like, no, don't look at the bad frame rate. I was glad I didn't get that with Spider-Verse because it was a concern I had going in. But yeah, I'm sorry you can't enjoy it as much because it challenges apart your from eyes.
That, it was really, really good. It's just that visual style, I don't know. My brain, I guess, was just trying to like find frames that weren't there.
Yeah.
And like knowing that was a thing, I don't know. It was just that sucked. That was really, really bad. And I hope they don't like, I hope they give it a sequel because it was a great movie.
It's definitely getting sequels.
But I just, if they need to cut that shit with the frame rate, they just need to just stop.
No.
You've got money. You can add extra frames in. It's okay.
True.
But yeah, it was really, really fun. Like I love Spider Noir. He was great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was fantastic.
Nick Cage, very good.
Mm-hmm. I loved him in the Rubik's Cube.
We're
going to spoil this, so yeah, if you haven't seen it, you should. But where he's just like, I'm taking this at the end of the movie. And then they have the smash cut of like how everything was sort of going with him. And it was like him like unveiling the Rubik's Cube to his black and white world. And like, it was, yeah. That part was very fun. It was just fun in general, all the different Spider-Mans.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely looking forward Miles to the sequels. Great. Yeah, because Into the Spider-Verse itself is getting a direct sequel, and there's also going to be a Spider-Girls spin-off with Gwen and a couple of others, including the robot pilot of Spider, which is spelled really uncomfortably in the comics. It's SP/DR, which, no, please don't make me say that. One thing that I have learned recently, the home video release on Blu-ray and everything has an entire alternate cut of the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
And not talking about slight deviations, like there was a completely different plot at one point. And so they have a 2-hour long alternate cut of the movie built from animatics and storyboards and whatever else could be shared across from the main movie, showing of this completely different path that the story could have taken. So I'm actually strongly considering picking up a physical copy of this movie, just because I want to support it because it's amazing, but also because that alternate cut could be really interesting to watch.
I of course won't, because I'm not gonna put myself through that again.
Well, if it's animatics and stuff, you might have a better time with it, to be honest.
Possibly. It depends how they actually, I guess, represent and put it in. I guess,
but I haven't seen any trailer clips or anything from it, so I'm not too sure.
Like, visually, like, I loved the look of the movie. It was great. The frame rate screwed me.
Fair.
Yeah, it was, that part was not good. But yeah, it was great. I liked it.
Well, in that case, speaking of animation, another thing I've been checking out over the weekend while I was filling time in between packing and unpacking and repacking boxes is an anthology series that just dropped onto Netflix, Love, Death, and Robots, which is very, very, very good.
I've heard good things about it. One of my friends actually just messaged me about it, said that he watched an episode, and he's like, I just couldn't get into it.
Well, that's dumb, because it's an anthology from, like, a dozen different studios, so every episode is completely different in terms of animation style, tone, storyline. The only prerequisites is that they're all CG animated, or animated, so there are some that are sort of more traditional sort of 2D animation, and they feature some combination of love, death, and or robots.
I mean, that's the danger with anthology series, though. If you don't catch someone with the first episode, like, you can't keep them, even though there might be other episodes that will get into them later on. Like, it's a real danger, because you can say to someone, oh, but they're all very different, but in your mind, like, it's hard to, like, go, like, yeah, but nah, they're going to be all the same. So
In which case, it's good that they didn't put all of the impetus on a single episode of the anthology to catch everybody, because, fun fact, every single Netflix user gets the episodes delivered to them in a different order.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I'd heard this, and I was able to verify it over the weekend, because between myself and two different friends I caught up with in Adelaide, all of us had a different first episode, a different order of episodes, so it's not even just that they're changing the top one, they're literally, like, shuffling them for each user. I don't know how they're doing it, but it's very clever.
I mean, it's not that tough technically to do that, I guess.
I mean, it's nothing that Netflix would ever have had to have done in the past. So I'm assuming it's based on, you know, your user ID at some level or something, so they can just sort of algorithmically predict how to do it, so it doesn't have to randomize every time you open.
I mean, you just, like, do a random, like, whenever you you know, get list, it throws your Netflix ID into the thing as a seed to of a randomizer, and that could give you a random, but every time the same random.
Consistently random, yeah. Yeah, it's a nice little touch to make sure, yeah, it's not saying that this particular episode has to be the first best representation of everything that follows. So, yeah, but, oh, God, the variety in animation, there's some that are very fluid, like, sketchy animation. There's some that are, like, photorealistic. Because when we saw one of the previews come up for a friend who had a different first episode to me, at first he thought it was a live-action thing. He's like, oh, I thought this was all animated. And then it was just a hint in the faces that it wasn't quite perfect.
It reminds me a lot of the Animatrix.
Yeah, it is the same sort of concept. Mm. It's kind of where my mind went when I first heard about it as well. But yeah, there's definitely some gems in the episodes there. I haven't actually finished the series yet, but there's an episode called Three Robots. I highly recommend it because it's great. Also, there's a lot of nudity in it. Not in Three Robots specifically, but in the anthology as a whole. A lot of boobies, a lot of butts, some peepers and vajayjays as well, in equal measure.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in, I guess, just in animation. Saying adult animation makes it sound like it's just flat out like hentai or something like that, but just
yeah,
animation directed towards like adult themes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone loves like boobs and butts and stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? I found it nice that there's equal opportunity because, you know, even when there is like nudity and stuff, I'm not used to seeing Beppus in my content. So it was nice to see some. I was just like, yeah, it's 2019. Let's see some love, sex, robots, and dicks. Yeah, I highly recommend it though. The episodes range in length from like 10 to 20 minutes. So it's pretty easy to just sort of smash one or two out now and then. But the variety and tone and content is really interesting. I thought they all had to have love, death, and robots in them. But as long as they have one, then that's good.
Then you're good, yeah.
But let's be honest, the ones with robots are the best ones.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I finally caught up on the Elseworlds crossover.
From DC TV.
Yeah, yeah. Haven't watched any of the other seasons at all, but just watched that.
Yeah.
Interesting, right? I caught up on it quite a while ago, but it seemed really good in parts one and two and just kind of like mad out towards the end of the third one.
Hmm. What did you think of Batwoman?
Well, we're getting Ruby Rose in a batsuit, all right.
Yep.
I just don't dig Ruby Rose. Because yeah, she's just literally the same thing every time. I've talked about this a lot, but yeah.
It's just Ruby Rose, yeah.
Yeah, she does not have a range. She's not a chameleon at all when it comes to things. You know, I mean, she was all right. The outfit looked all right. She's basically going to be Batman without having to put Batman in it.
Yeah. So how they're going to work around those rights issues, I'll be interested to see.
At least they don't have to skirt around saying the word Batman now. Because it was
that
painful.
Whole first season of Supergirl.
It was charming. Oofed. When it was just like a throwaway comment, and then it's just like every single time, like they can't help but not mention them. For fuck's sake, either put them in or remove all reference whatsoever from here on out.
Well, just think like, but much like Supergirl, they could have used the exact same trick in Batwoman and just had her say your cousin all the time.
Yeah, but even
because
that,
she is Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Even that got old though. It was like, yeah, we get it. Your unnamed cousin is Superman. We get it.
Yeah, he's the most famous superhero and beloved, but let's not say his name.
You're literally a carbon copy, but like the gender switched version. And
let's
no
name you made, after him and not make any reference.
And yeah,
to
no
it.
One's like made any parallels or ever talks about him when talking about you. It was just stupid.
I'm so glad they got over it in the second season. Yeah.
It's like fuck it, Superman.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
It was all right. It was pretty entertaining. Like I said, I thought it fell apart a bit towards the end. But I mean, that's your classic trilogy kind of deal. Things tend to fall apart fall away a bit in the third part, just because of how it's got a like the three act kind of structure. Like it's got to contain the big like flashy finish. But that of course then detracts from what kind of makes the first two parts great is like the characterization, that kind of stuff, like the cool little things. Yeah, it just tends to big fight scenes that were cool, but it's like, yeah.
Well, on the superhero front, I've also, though I'm a few episodes behind at this stage, I have been watching Doom Patrol.
Oh, yeah, isn't it good?
Yeah, it's really good. Like, very weird. Very self-referential because the, at least for the first few episodes, the intro and outro is actually narrated by the villain, Mr. Okay. Nobody, as played by Alan Tudyk, who is very sort of breaking the fourth wall, kind of making references.
Is he,
yes, it's another superhero story, but these ones are shitty.
Does he face in it, or is he just voice?
His face. Oh, okay, well, cool. Most of a face. Mr. Nobody's whole thing is that he went through a Nazi superpower experiment, and sort of, he looks like he's been shredded into ribbons, and only some of them are still there. So, it actually looks pretty cool.
That's kind of why on a TV budget. Facing up, you know, because yeah. A lot of his work these days has been voicing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like the chicken in Moana.
I mean, God awesome, but just like, why?
Yeah, all your lines are, Mark!
Pretty much, yeah.
Not hard to remember.
You've done less work than Vin Diesel.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I'm really enjoying it. Like, I've recently read the sort of the newer run of Doom Patrol that DC did under the Young Animals imprint, where they're kind of being a bit more experimental. So some of the cast are the same, some aren't. But they're very interesting. You've got Brendan Fraser playing Robot Man.
He was good. I saw their episode from Titans, and they were real good in that. So I was looking forward to it.
So you've got Robot Man, Brendan Fraser, Negative Man, who looks like a mummy and has like a sparkly energy creature inside him that he can unleash. Matt Bomer. Gorgeous Matt Bomer. Then you've got Jane, Crazy Jane, who has 64 distinct personalities with 64 distinct superpowers. And they do lots of cool little visual cues to say who's who. Like her hairstyle will change, or she'll have a scar on her face, or the makeup will change. In one, she turns into a giant fire-headed laser woman. So that one's a little less subtle. But yeah, there's just a lot of that. Also, Cyborg's in it. But not Beast Boy yet. I'm assuming he'll turn up at some point.
I think he's off running around with the Titans at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, this starts, like, back in the 50s or something.
Oh, okay.
And then jumps forward. So I don't know if it's actually set before or after Beast Boy's tenure with them. They haven't made any reference to him, so I'm starting to think it might be prior. But it is set in 2019, which is weird.
Because, in Titans, he's hanging out with them. Yeah. And then he pulls there. Raven in. And then I guess two are then escape out.
Hmm.
So,
like, it's a fun series. I'm enjoying it so far, but I look forward to diving in further. There's also the second season of something that started, and I haven't watched any of it, and I keep meaning to, but I can't remember what it is, which is probably why I haven't watched it.
Is it Future Man? Because Future Man season 2 came out.
No, it's not.
I've only watched the first couple episodes of it, just because I haven't had really time to sit and watch it all. It's pretty funny from the first few episodes. It seems like it's going in some pretty funny directions, so I look forward to that. Do you have anything else you've been watching?
Not really. I can sort of stop it there if you can.
I've got a couple of quick honourable mentions. Been watching Miracle Workers. It's on Stan. It's a Stan exclusive here.
Australia. Oh, this is Daniel Radcliffe and Steve Buscemi.
And a girl, one of the teen girls from Blockers, I want to say. Okay. And then also in the Dick movie that's on Netflix. Their four kids go out hiking to celebrate, I guess, finishing high school. And they get really, really drunk. And one kid's out there with a knife, and he's like, he's peeing in the woods. And he's like, hey, look, I'm like cutting my pee. And whoop. Yeah. And then hilarity ensues from there.
I hate it. Talk about something else now.
What about the movie? This doesn't actually get any better, because this one's actually pretty grim. But have you watched Afterlife?
No.
It's a Ricky Gervais show. About
the probably why I don't want to watch it.
No, like, it's really, really good. And it's really kind of sincere and has a lot of heart to it.
Doesn't sound like Ricky Gervais to me.
Well, it depends on what you watch of his. A lot of his stuff, even though it has a lot of, like, crude, kind of very shock comedy, often has a lot of heart to it, if you kind of look behind it. Okay. But this has really got, like, a lot of heart behind it. It's really quite good, but it's very, very dark. About a dude struggling with the death of his wife.
Fun.
And how he wants to basically like kill himself, but the only reason he doesn't is because the dog is like there. And he's like, oh, I guess I gotta feed you, so I can't kill myself because, well, who would feed you then. So it's literally what keeps him going. And then the show kind of goes on there and he like, it's about him talking to a bunch of people and like, he basically is just like a dick. He's like, I don't give a shit anymore. Like, I'm just going to call it how I see it, like whatever. And his like his friends and his co-workers and stuff, they kind of dismiss it as like, we get it. He's like, he's in pain. Like, what, you know, they allow a lot because they understand the situation he's in. And a few people kind of call him on it and he's like, whatever, I don't give a shit. But he's also like a reporter for like a local, like we have the Messenger here in Adelaide where it's the free paper. So there's this free paper in his town and it's all about him. Every episode, like, he kind of goes out in like another like really pointless, shitty like location for a story. Like, what's it like to get, like, it's your birthday this year. What's it like to get six of the same birthday card? Oh, it's a charming story. And he's just like, this is bullshit. And so there's a whole bunch of that in it. It's really quite good, but very dark.
Okay.
It's got tons of British stars in it. Like, tons of them. Like, I was watching, I'm like, oh, that guy's from that. Oh, that lady's from that. Like, pretty much everyone in there has been in Doctor Who at some point.
I think every British actor has at this point.
Slash Harry Potter, slash basically any kind of show that's been on Channel 4. Yeah. There's lots of, like, lots of good actors in there. It's good.
Nice.
So I've been watching those, but I want to mention a couple of shows that are coming up. One's coming up in like a day, tomorrow. A show called Project Blue Book that I've only just heard about. It's got Littlefinger from Game of Thrones in it, is that the main guy, and he gets recruited by the US Air Force to head up some sort of like UFO alien-y investigation.
I have seen a trailer for this.
Yeah, I've been hearing bits about it and I didn't even know it existed until a few days ago, but it looks like it could be alright. Like, it could be terrible, but it could be alright. I'm going to check that out.
Nice.
But a hopefully a great show coming out about one of my favourite books of all time.
I think I know where this is going.
Catch 22.
Nope, that one.
He's coming out as a TV show in May, and I cannot wait. It's got George Clooney in it.
Okay.
And a bunch of other people. But like, if you know anything about Catch 22, that shit is insane, and it's coming out.
Okay, well, I thought you were going to say Good Omens, which is coming soon, and I'm very, very, very excited.
I'm also very excited for it. I wouldn't call it one of my most favourite books of all time, but it's very good. But
it's 100% my favourite book. Yeah. It's the only book in my entire library of books that is allowed to be like dishevelled and folded and
that,
torn and beautiful because I read it so many times.
Perfectly.
Oh, and the intro sequence which they've released, which is like this weird kind of gothic animation, is beautiful and weird as shit. But it does remind me of the show I was trying to think of before with the second season's come out is American Gods, which I need to watch.
Yeah, I haven't kicked off on that yet either.
And one other show I'm going to mention that I want to watch that I haven't watched yet, I think the first episode's just dropped on Stan here in Australia, Now Apocalypse, which is a TV series by Greg Araki, who does lots of weird indie, vaguely queer stuff. It's described as Sex and the City, but with aliens? In LA. So
wait, what's the show called?
Now Apocalypse.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that on Stan.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. It seems like it's very much about like the millennial experience, but also aliens. There's a lizard man in the trailer.
Described by stars as sexy, vibrant, and fast moving.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right. I want to check that out soon as well. I'm not sure if the entire season dropped or if it's going to be releasing sort of weekly, like
I
most
things.
I think
it's weekly because it first aired on March 10th and it's got two episodes.
Okay, yeah. So it's not a complete drop. So I'm going to get to that eventually. Is that all for TV shows?
That's all I can think of right now.
So. Okay, we've been talking for 45 minutes, so we are going to do Beyond Fast News at this point.
Sweet.
Okay, so firstly, Avengers... Endgame is going to be 3 hours long.
Can't fucking wait.
It's so much movie, but they need it to explain what the fuck.
Yes. It's amazing. Awesome. Thumbs up.
They put out posters for the movie, which is each individual character that say Avenge the Fallen, and all the ones who are alive are in colour, and all the ones who are dead or dusted are in black and white. So we now know that Shuri got dusted, which is shit.
I saw some funny variations, because of course the internet machine's already going.
Yep.
But on a serious note, is Maria Hill, was she on there at all?
I don't remember.
Fucking give us more Maria Hill.
Yeah... but also, and still, no one from S.H.I.E.L.D. is in the fucking movies.
Of course. So, the greatest one I saw was, you know, it has the Avenge the Fallen like thing over it, but it was like a black and white version of like Seymour from Futurama, like laying down. I'm like, oh man, I'm both like happy and sad at the same time.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. There's a new Lord of the Rings game, Gollum Narrative Adventure for 2021.
Going to be super annoying because Gollum is super annoying.
Yeah. It's after he finds the ring, but before the first Lord of the Rings movie. So, sure, I guess. Like, I hope it's a narrative game and not, like, an explorer game, because I don't want to play as Gollum in, like, an action-adventure game.
It's going to be super annoying because Gollum does not... He's a bit character. He's an important bit character, but he's super annoying if you have to sit with him for, like, 10 hours or more.
Yeah. Interesting, though, it was announced as releasing in 2021 for PC and all relevant console platforms at that time, which tells me that it's going to come to PS5 and Xbox 2 or whatever we're going to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's about the most interesting thing about it.
Maybe
Apple
had Xbox 2, like T00. It's an Xbox 2.
There's no name they can give it that I'm not going to hate.
Oh, yeah, it'll be shit.
Apple had a conference, and one of the things they announced was Apple Arcade, which is going to be a subscription game service like Xbox Game Pass. They've said that there will be 100 original games on launch. I'm sure not all of them will be AAA 80-hour adventures.
I bet almost none of them will be.
But, yeah, it sounds interesting. Like, I'll be keen to sort of dig more into that and see what is coming
also
there.
Doing the TV bullshit as well. Yet another
yes,
type of streaming
Apple TV
service.
Plus.
Cool that they're adding like yet another streaming service into the mix, but in Australia, like that market is just saturated already.
Yeah.
So I don't think people realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similarly, on new game platforms, Google announced Stadia, which is the plural of stadium. Sure. And it's going to have streaming. You just have a controller, I think, and you stream games over the internet to a TV with it.
It's only going to be good if you have local servers. If there's no local servers, it's going to be pointless.
Yeah, they've said that it'll only need about 20 megabit per second.
So that wipes out most of Australia. Cool, continue.
Mm-hmm. The lowest resolution will be 720p, and from what I've heard, it will connect to Google HQ, which is in America.
Well, that's going to be useless
here. Yeah, that'll be fun. I know it's not launching in Australia on launch with everywhere else, so hopefully they're trying to find a way to make that less shitty for not America.
Hopefully by the time it actually gets outside of America and gets here, they would have ironed out the kinks to it.
Yeah. Or also, hopefully by the time it gets here, the controller will be better, because it looks weird and ugly, and I don't like it.
It looks like a controller. I like using an Xbox controller. I'm not a fan of having the two sticks like side by side there. I prefer the stick straight up and to the side, but... That's just a personal preference thing.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Ouya controller. That was a bad controller. And this makes me think of it, which is not a good sign.
To be fair, I will judge it on its comfort when it's in my hand. Because it's
very
tough to... It looks
like someone tried to draw a PlayStation controller from memory.
It's tough to look at a controller and work out if it's actually going to be comfy. Because it could look like shit, but when it sits in your hands, it could just be like you're holding like, you know... the farts of God.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Yep.
Nintendo did a Nindies presentation, Nintendo Indies for games that are coming up. There's a bunch of stuff. I'm just going to read through this summary and say the ones that I'm interested in. So, there's a crossover game between Crypt of the Necro Dancer and Legend of Zelda called Cadence of Hyrule, where the art is in line with A Link to the Past DX, and it looks gorgeous, and I might actually be interested in it this time because I tried Necrodancer, didn't really get into it, but I think if it's got familiar music, that'll kind of catch me. Double Fine's doing a new game called Rad, where you are a thing that mutates itself in a post-apocalyptic world to have superpowers and stuff. Gives me elements of Biomutant, which I care more about, but sure. And Cuphead is coming to Switch.
In like a big deal with Microsoft and Game Pass and stuff, or whatever they some sort of dealio they're doing with Nintendo,
which is good because playing that on the go, fantastic. I won't play it because I tried it once and I hated it.
Yeah, it basically it means that you've got I guess, more interesting things to smash your Switch over,
mm-hmm.
Or smash your console over when you inevitably fail at that game over and over and over again.
Exactly.
So, you Fantastic. Know, that's cool. I mean, you could belt the person yeah. in front of you on the bus, just work across the back true. Of the head.
Also, this one's more interesting to me than you, I think. Persona 5 announced or revealed more details you about a game that's been teased for ages. Atlus secured a trademark for Persona 5R, and everyone was trying to figure out what it would be, because we've already got dancing side games and stuff like that. It's now been revealed as Persona 5 The Royal, with a little sort of animated intro in the game style of a completely new character talking about the main characters, the Phantom Thieves. So no one's sure if it's going to be a side game or an expanded game, because Persona 4 did get the awesome Vita remaster called Persona 4 The Golden, where they expanded the story and added new characters, so it could be kind of an upgraded edition of the original. I will probably play it again if that is true, because I loved that game so much. It was so stylish. Yeah. And lucky last, this week, PlayStation, Sony, decided to follow weirdly in the footsteps of Nintendo, a sentence I never thought I'd have to say, and have started doing a irregularly scheduled video stream of upcoming games and news about their console environment. They're calling it State of Play. You'll be able to stream it from your PlayStation, not your Xbox, from your PlayStation. and then they're putting it on YouTube afterwards. So pretty similar
to
what...
So you will be able to stream on your Xbox.
You will be able to stream it on your Xbox. Yeah, so they did the first one overnight last night. Some interesting bits and pieces. A lot of coverage for PlayStation VR, so it's nice to know they still remember it exists. There's going to be an Iron Man VR game where you get to play as Iron Man. And it seems like you're getting hacked by Ghost, who was the villain of Ant-Man and the Wasp. There was a story mode trailer for Mortal Kombat 11, which is apparently about some of the 90s Mortal Kombat characters dealing with their present-day versions. So they had, like, what's his name? Johnny Cage?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of his young, sort of douchey actor self and his older self. Like, there was a line where he's like, I do all my own stunts, do you? And the old one's like, nah, I've got people for that. And then punches him in the face. yeah, so that. There's a VR game for Five Nights at Freddy's. Fuck that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it right off.
It's going to be big on the on Twitch and all that junk. Ugh.
I can hear the screams already.
That's a thing.
The No Man's Sky Beyond update that's coming with the revolutionized multiplayer that's actually what everyone originally wanted, as you yourself said earlier.
And refused to acknowledge that it was or wasn't a thing. And everyone's like, is that the thing? And you're like, and they just would talk about other things and then try and twist it and turn it. And everyone's like, can you just fucking tell us if that's the thing? Because that's what we want. And now we know that they deliberately didn't answer that because they wanted people to buy it before they found out that no, that was not the thing.
Yeah. Anyway, it's also getting a VR mode. So that actually could be kind of cool.
It's kind of pretty game. I mean, it's pretty and it's not. It's not pretty in the sense that when you get onto a planet, you've seen the entire planet.
Yeah.
But it is pretty.
I think having that level of immersion could be fun in a game where there's not any like active combat or anything like that. It's just exploring and looking around. Depends on how they handle movement, though. Like in a ship, fantastic. Doesn't matter. Whether you sort of teleport walk or actual walk could control whether it's fun or nauseating. They had a couple more VR titles they kind of quick highlighted, but I didn't really care about them because none of them were on screen long enough to notice what they are, except for the game by Justin Roiland and what's it from Rick and Morty.
Oh, shit. What are they made now?
I can't remember what it's called. But it's in that same sort of style. It's about a guy
whose
eyes are two little things with eyes. And he's trying to defeat an evil guy who has dogs for eyes. Yeah, I don't fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's VR and you can play it normally, but I'm not sure. It might just be VR because they did do Accounting Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, the remaster of Crash Team Racing, will have some PS4 exclusive retro items as a nod to the original game being on the platform, where you'll be able to play in the original PS1 character models, which could be kind of cute. And I think they said something about another one of the later racing games, some of the battle maps will be available in it as well. So, rounding out the content a little bit, which is pretty cool. I'll still get it on Switch, because I don't care that much about playing in PS1 models, but I do care about being able to play it on the tram. God, I love Crash Team Racing. I'm so horny for this game. Although, I was hearing from a friend today that Crash Tag Team Racing, which was a PS2 game that followed up to that one, had you combining multiple racers' carts into one as like fusion things, which sounds fucking awesome. So now I need to find that game.
Hmm.
There was a trailer for Days Gone, the zombie whatever, where you are a biker man and you have to fight the bad zombies to get to your pretty wife or something. I don't really know. I probably won't get it. Like, it looks interesting, but I'm not invested and I've kind of had enough of zombies.
I've had enough of, I guess, the same zombie game we've been getting over and over. If something could do something new and interesting.
Like, they're fast horde zombies, which could be kind of fun, but also could be really stressful and bad. We'll find out in like a month or something when it comes out.
Yeah. No, still no one's done a proper like zombie game where the sheer number and the crushing weight of zombies is what's dangerous about zombies. And yet they still haven't done this in things like Walking Dead properly. Like, sure, they glimpse a bit every now and then, but the amount of zombies that are on screen that kill people, an amount of zombies that would never kill a person in real life ever.
Yeah. And lastly of interest to me in this was a game called Observation from the good folks at Devolver Digital. It is, I think, primarily, but maybe not exclusively, a VR title, where you are playing as the AI on a spaceship, trying to help the, as far as you can tell, last surviving crew member. So it's a lot of using the cameras around the ship to kind of interact with machinery and stuff, and help her make her way through the station and try and figure out what went on to put everyone else out of comms range. It looks really gorgeous because it's lots of tight controlled environments. Reminds me of Adrift, which is another similar kind of premised game from a few years back. And I want to play it. It's coming out in May. I'm going to play it in May.
Cool.
Which means I've got 2 months to finally plug my PSVR back in. It's nice that it still exists, that they remembered that they had a VR platform.
Because
It definitely feels like it's been radio silence for like a year. Except for occasional drops of games that I don't care about. Like, who wants to play a first-person shooter in VR, please? That's just asking to throw up.
Well, speaking of first-person shooters in VR, apparently, if you don't die within the next 5 years, we might get Half-Life 3. Right, So, thanks for tuning in to the weekly dose of Indoorsman. Riff, riff, riff. That's what it says on the thing.
You sure did do that.
I normally don't do that bit, so.
Yeah, I don't know why you started this. Why are you being proactive? This isn't like you.
I've already started playing Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, God. Okay. If you like our opening and closing music, which is not Crystal Theme Final Fantasy VII, as you may be hearing in the background, because Cliff is terrible.
I'll turn the volume down.
Okay. It's Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W, which you can find on Bandcamp and other places where music comes from.
Oh, sorry, it's my turn now. I was looking at
it the game. It is, you trash boy.
I legit am. I've got my Switch in front of me.
I fucking... God damn it.
You can find... that doesn't actually make sense.
Don't criticize my writing. Just read the shit.
Basically, our website is indoorsmanpodcast.com. You can get our stuff there. You can also go to Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and we're all at indoorsmanpod.
That is correct. Don't go to the Instagram, because I still haven't updated it in like 20 episodes. Like, someone needs to remind me to do this instead of myself at the end of recording every episode. Go to the Instagram
and annoy the shit out of Matt. And ask him to update it.
I don't think I even have it logged in on my phone anymore to post, so God knows. If you want to get in touch with us more directly, you can contact me on Twitter, at Ponk. If you want to talk to Dead Air, you can tweet at Cliff, at Cliff and Monkey. And as always, if you've got any questions or comments, or you just want to tell us how pretty we look today, you can send emails our way at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
We'd also love it if you would subscribe, review, and rate the show on iTunes, or wherever you get the podcast from. There's sites that do it as well, as I understand it.
There is. It's a grand technical world out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably pay someone to like record them onto a cassette for you if you really want to.
You've spent too much time in like hipster central Melbourne.
Yeah, I do live in Brunswick, mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. For now, I've been Matt.
And I've been Cliff, and I would turn the sound up, but we probably would get a copyright strike if I actually put the very famous music from this game.
Yeah, up it'd be nice to get some attention for the podcast, but that's not the kind of attention we're after.
Not the good kind, no.
So, by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying, Aerith dies. Spoilers!
Didn't even care, I'm a Tifa boy.
I hate having her name be Aerith. I know it's the correct translation, but it's Aerith and it always will be.
I've been watching a lot of, this is a side note, which you may not want to cut out. I've been watching a lot of soccer lately, and I've watched a lot of La Liga, which is Spanish. And of course, all Z's in Spanish and half the S's are th, and it just sounds like they're deliberately being either obnoxious or they have a speech impediment.
Let's have some zucchini.
Like, Thuarez.
Let's go to Zanzibar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ibiza. It's just, no.
Ibiza. That one feels classy to me. I like that one.
You can go to classy Ibiza and die of some kind of drug overdose while having sex with someone on the beach.
Get an STI and then take them a Vithramarathon.
Exactly. And the end.
That was so bad. All right, we're done. Go find out what happens to Cloud.